Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's the Kent Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. And I've been waiting 2 weeks to say what's been on my mind about this, but as I wanted to, I knew that the story would change. Here in Cleveland, there had been a whole bunch of different rumors going around, a whole lot of innuendo, what have you. There's a whole lot of different things happening. And over the last week, there was a lot of wonder about what had transpired, why Myles Garrett acted the way he did, why Mason Rudolph reacted the way he did, any of that, and of course, a couple of days ago, the story changes. You knew that the story was going to change. And honestly, here, there were a lot of different rumors from a lot of different people throwing out a lot of different things about what may or may not have happened in that moment. I'll go by the facts. I'll get to the rumor, but first I'll go by the facts. Because first off, I'll tell you what I think happened. I think that there's both default. Myles Garrett has most fault. Because I think Mason was frustrated. Going back and watching that game play by play, moment by moment, you see in the previous two plays, Mason Rudolph is sacked during those plays. They're still throwing the ball. I think he's upset. He's thrown four picks. He's frustrated. I didn't think that the original tackle by Myles Garrett with 8 seconds left, or going down to 8 seconds, I should say, I didn't think that the original tackle was illegal, late, too forceful. I didn't think any of that. I think Myles Garrett, in his own right, was probably trying to not commit a penalty. Hold on for a second. There were plenty of people who felt differently, including Matt Filer, who, when you watch what happens, turns around and looks at the ref going, "Hello, can we get a flag over here?" Even if you felt it was late, Mason Rudolph did not act correctly. It may have been a penalty. And especially with what we consider penalties or not penalties today, more than likely, you could say it's a penalty, and I won't sit here and disagree with you the entire call. If you felt it was a penalty, fine. I didn't think it was a legal or bad hit. But even if you did, and even if obviously Mason Rudolph did, that's not the way to go about your business. You have a referee standing right behind you. If he missed the call, you can go ahead and plead your case with him. I don't know why you're still throwing the ball, but it's still well within your right to try to come back and pull off a miracle if you so can. You're only down by a couple of scores. I'm not going to use that as any sort of a get-out-of-jail-free card or any sort of an excuse for Myles Garrett there. I don't think if Ben Roethlisberger's playing quarterback, I don't think that they're throwing the football the way they were trying to at that moment. I didn't think the tackle was bad. I didn't think it was worthy of Mason Rudolph ripping a Myles Garrett's helmet. But I also know that I can't absolve Mason or Myles Garrett of the responsibility that he bears. You can't do that on a football field. No matter how many times I try to justify, no matter how many times I try to take a look at it differently, I can't. You took a guy's helmet, you hit him over the head with it. We can bring up Lyle Alzado all we want. We can do Danny White all we want. These are bygone times. Things are different now. I can't keep referencing the plays of dead football players and continue to put those into 2019. Times change, rules change, our social acceptable behaviors change, even on a football field. I can't absolve Myles Garrett of that responsibility. Can't, won't. What Myles did is what Myles did, and what Myles did was wrong. And because of how we live as a society, he would pay a harsh penalty for it. I think there's a fear of litigation that goes into it. I do think that there is something such as player safety, but again, that's fear of litigation. And also, there is a shock factor that people don't want to see in football, no matter what I say about it. And at 10:40 a.m. Eastern, I'll tell you why, because there's one storyline that a couple of people use with me, and I just can't stand it. But that coming up in just about 30 minutes. Then I had to get to Myles Garrett's allegation on Thursday. Now, I've known Myles Garrett in a professional capacity for the last 3 years. We've talked on record. We've spoken off record. I don't know Myles Garrett to be a liar. But just because I've never spoken to Mason Rudolph, and more than likely never will, doesn't mean I can subscribe to the theory that Mason Rudolph called him a racial slur. I don't know if somebody pressured Miles into doing it. We've seen the Josina Anderson tweet that was deleted. There is something to wonder about there. Will Cain on ESPN grilled her, and rightfully so, about that. Because if you're going to allege these things or you hear these things and then you get rid of these type of reports, I'm sorry, but Josina Anderson as a reporter needs to report what she heard or claim responsibility for what she reported was erroneous. You have to do that. Because in our society, there's only about three things that you could be called that are absolutely deplorable. And then there's a fourth, and that's being a liar. So either one's a liar and the other one's a racist, or either or, if you put that out there, you better make very well sure that that's what you meant to put out there and not go back to any sort of back channel, not go back to any sort of stumbling over, not go back to any of that. I'm a guy on the radio. I have to question these things. You're a journalist, Big J journalist. Sources, correctness, that's what it's supposed to be about. I don't know if somebody pressured Myles Garrett into it. A week is a long time to think. We know that, and from what Jay Glazer had said in his tweet, that there was a possibility. He kind of implied that maybe Myles Garrett would say it to him in an interview. He didn't come out and say it, though. So there was a weird implication there by Jay Glazer. I don't know if he was pressured into it because for a young guy, there is times where you can go over that time and go, my God, I'm going to lose endorsements. I'm going to lose possible parts of my salary. I'm going to lose some good name here. There's a lot of things that you get nervous about. You hear it because it's an open-ended, indefinite suspension. There's a lot of things that you can hear that frankly scare you. And so for a guy like Myles Garrett, maybe he got nervous. Maybe somebody thought, are you sure you didn't hear something? Because that's very awkward behavior for everybody involved. I've never seen Myles Garrett do anything like that. But for that purpose, I've never seen Mason Rudolph do anything like that. I've never seen Mason Rudolph start a melee either. I wonder if Miles talked himself into believing he heard it. Then I wonder, did Miles actually hear something? Because again, I've never known Myles Garrett to be a liar. In either way, one of these two is something that you don't want to be called in our society. Either one's a liar or the other one's a racist. Even if Mason did say it, above all this, I can't, and the NFL can't excuse the reaction. If we ever find out, and that I'll get to here in a second, if we ever find out about this and find out that there was actual evidence, concrete evidence, audio that cannot be put to pass, something that cannot be looked past ever, that Mason Rudolph used a racial slur against Myles Garrett on the field, while it's awful and the NFL would have what's coming to them, and I could understand a little bit of Miles' reaction, obviously. You still can't condone that reaction. If I see you on a street, and you are arguing with me, and I launch a racial slur in your direction, I know that before the police come, I got what's coming to me. But you still can't inflict bodily harm on me. It can be justified in the court of public opinion. Absolutely it can be. It can't be allowed on the street, and it can't be allowed on a football field. As wrong as it is, and again, if I were to say it to you, I got it coming to me. I got it. I know that. It's a wrong thing to say. They're hurtful words. We say that words don't hurt. That's garbage. And especially some certain racial slurs, we don't technically know which one, but with some certain racial slurs, those things are going to be launched at people. That implies, I'm better than you. That even implies ownership to some ways. And as a man, you can't do that. And until the police arrive, you got what's coming to you if you use some of these words. But that's until the police arrive. Until the referees arrive, or until the NFL themselves arrive, which they did later, you got what's coming to you after the fact. So even though, no, you can't condone what Mason Rudolph did, and Mason Rudolph said it, the NFL should have a huge problem on their hands, a tremendous problem on their hands, and Mason Rudolph should be ostracized from the community. Well, that's there, and true, I can't excuse that behavior, and the NFL can't excuse it. You can understand it a little bit, but it still needs to warrant a punishment. There's one thing I know for sure out of all this, because I can't guarantee you that Mason Rudolph said it, and I'm not going to sit here and try to deduce that I think that Mason Rudolph said racial slurs just because I'm from Cleveland. And I'm sure as hell not going to sit there and say that Myles Garrett's a liar, because I've met Myles Garrett, I've known Myles Garrett in a professional capacity for a long time, I've never known the man to be a liar, I want to take him at his word. This all seems fishy on both sides. But there's one thing I know for sure out of all of this. You're not going to hear any audio. If the NFL has their way, you're not going to hear any audio. Because while this seems to be, and we're begging for the audio, people are going to TMZ, people are going anywhere, they're offering money. If anybody has any idea of any sort of this audio, please give the audio over. TMZ will pay good money for the audio. If you're one of the people from Fox or NFL Films and you have audio and you are keeping it suppressed, they'll pay you good money to leak that audio to them. If the NFL has their druthers, you aren't going to hear or see a damn thing out of all of this. They want to get to this weekend. They want to get to Sunday afternoon and Sunday night and move on and get to week 13 and get going with the NFL season. That's what they want. If they were to release audio, it's going to make the league look bad no matter what. If I don't hear damning evidence of Mason Rudolph using a racial slur, if I don't hear that, then your former number one overall pick looks like a liar and a race baiter. If you do hear Mason Rudolph using a racial slur, you have a league that has turned a deaf ear yet again to a league that is predominantly filled with black men. You have a league that has turned its ear and its eyes yet again and would be alleged of a cover-up for a backup white quarterback. You simply cannot have it. We'll never know if there's any sort of audio here, because it's simply easier, it's more convenient for the NFL to keep this thing away. You could look after any sort of audio that you can. You can look after any sort of video that you can. The NFL will do everything they can, and it still might get out. I know that truthfully. But the NFL will do everything they can to keep that buried, because this, and even though this is ugly, this is easier. This is easier, because guys lose their minds on a football field. We've seen this before. Andre Johnson, one of the greatest wide receivers of the generation, just because he didn't talk that much, we don't even think about him. Andre Johnson ripped a helmet off a guy's head and pummeled him like he was Frank Costanza at Festivus. Josh Norman and Odell Beckham Jr. got into it. We saw Michael Westbrook punch a guy out on camera live at a training camp before. These things are crazy. These things seem to be bizarre, but in the context of the game, while you can't allow it, and it has to be punished, and it can be shocking to some, and you could act like you're outraged about it, it's still, well, it's football, it's a violent game, we've punished the offending parties, and we've moved on. You can still get over it. You'll watch college football later on this afternoon, you'll watch the NFL coming up tomorrow and on Monday night, and we'll move on. Myles Garrett will sit out the rest of the year. He'll more than likely go through the hoops that the NFL requires him to, and he'll more than likely be ready for week one of the 2020 season. Everybody moves on. While there will be hurt feelings, while there will be questions, you can't prove it. I can't prove that Myles Garrett lied. I can't prove that Mason Rudolph said something racist. I can't prove it. Right now, it's hearsay. And as long as the NFL is concerned, as far as they're concerned, it will continue to be hearsay from now to kingdom come. It will continue to be that way. It is much easier for the NFL to prosecute based on what something happened on the football field, which, while was wild and bizarre and ugly and embarrassing, it is far worse than what's alleged. and they don't want any of that. At the worst part, if that audio comes out, then their number one pick, one of their cornerstones of one of their franchises, is a liar. You can't have that. And at the very worst, one of their quarterbacks, one of their football players, has used a racial slur, and it looks as if the NFL is covering up for it. That's the absolute worst. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll get your thoughts when we come back. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweets, send the hot takes at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. Plenty of people coming up today. We got the great A.J. Hawk. In the words of Brett Musburger, A.J. Hawk. He'll join us at 11 a.m. Eastern. Noon Eastern, Barton Simmons joins us, CBS Sports college football writer. Also, Yogi Roth, 12:40 p.m. Eastern, 9:40 a.m. Pacific. Pac-12 Network, Elite 11. I think he says, if I'm not mistaken, he's got Justin Herbert. He says Justin Herbert's way better than Joe Burrow. Isn't that what he told D.A. this week, Tom?
I believe so, yeah.
I want to find out why.
Herbert's number one.
Everybody's sure. In love with Joe Burrow, including myself.
And me.
Everybody's in love with the man. I mean, he is. There is something there that, and I'll ask, because I think so many guys, well, I want leaders. Tim Tebow's a leader. How great of a quarterback was Tim Tebow in the NFL? Don't even start the calls. But honestly, how great of a quarterback was Tim Tebow in the NFL? I want leaders. Well, you got to have something there, but Joe Burrow, holy Toledo, what a leader. The job that he's doing with LSU, and I want it so bad. I want LSU. I want Ohio State. I want Ed Orgeron in the national championship game. I want Ryan Day. If I can't have Ryan Day versus Urban Meyer in a national championship game someday, this is almost the second best thing. Ed Orgeron, who everybody wanted fired at one point last year down at LSU, now what he's doing, now what LSU's doing, now what Joe Burrow has done, this is fantastic. I want it so badly. All the connections that are there, Joe Burrow being from Southwest Ohio, being a former Ohio State guy, I want it badly. I love good stories. I think the committee loves good stories. I think that's part of the reason why Alabama's probably going to get in. I need LSU to win out. I need Ohio State to win out. I so desperately want them to meet 1-2, and I don't know if that's going to end up going that way. 855-212-4CBS. I got to get back to the Myles Garrett stuff. Just what do you think? Because I can ask you. Who do you believe? Who are you more inclined to believe? It'll turn into a racial thing, absolutely. But who are you more inclined to believe? Because when you put out an allegation of racial slurs and you can't back it up, you're going to look like a liar. For Mason Rudolph, in his own right, if we ever find out, you have a locker room that's predominantly filled with black men who are going to be very upset that you said something like that. And also, I think that when it comes to the audio, if Myles Garrett, he could always say, even if he's not a liar, let's paint it this way. And I'll get to Steve in Maryland here in a moment. Say Myles isn't even lying. Say he thought he heard something and he didn't hear it. Or maybe he believes he does. That's what he says in his statement. But let's just say that at the end of it all, you know, maybe I heard something, but I wasn't sure. Myles Garrett goes back into that locker room next year, and he's probably very well received. They take him in. They're probably pretty excited. He's one of the cornerstones of that franchise. It's probably not going to end the way that a lot of Browns fans thought it was going to end this year, so they're going to need him to play well in 2020 and get things going in the right direction, seeing as they started out behind the eight ball this year. They're going to need him, and he'll come back, and more than likely he'll, again, go through the hoops of what the NFL gives him. And he'll check all those boxes, and he'll be able to play in 2020, probably week one. And he'll come back, and maybe it'll be a good story. He'll have to watch himself, but maybe it'll be a good story. But they'll welcome him back. If we find out that Mason Rudolph said what Myles Garrett alleges that he said, good luck. You're not Ben Roethlisberger. And I don't even know if Ben Roethlisberger can get away with that. I don't know if any guy can get away with that. You know, people immediately point to Riley Cooper. Riley Cooper had to do a lot of apologizing, and there were still guys, no. Not interested. Stay away. This is a business. You do your job. I'll do my job. Don't talk to me. Mason Rudolph and Riley Cooper was a wide receiver. Mason Rudolph's a quarterback. And as a second-round pick, no matter what Steeler fans think, because there's plenty of Steeler fans going, you can suspend him, go right on ahead. I'd rather have Devlin Hodges. But no matter what Steeler fans might think, Kevin Colbert took him as maybe an heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger. If we find out that Mason Rudolph said that, good luck. So it's much easier for the NFL to go, yeah, there's no audio. The NFL Films wasn't recording. A Thursday night football game, huh? Billion-dollar industry with billions of dollars quite literally laid down to broadcast that game in television rights. You didn't have anybody? Nobody. Didn't have anybody mic'd up. Didn't have any parabolic mic that could have got anything. Nothing? Nothing. Not Myles Garrett, not a former number one overall pick. No, you wouldn't mic him up. You wouldn't mic Mason Rudolph up. He's the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, for crying out loud. Wouldn't mic up Marquise Pouncey. Wouldn't do that as the leader of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Couldn't do that. No. There's no audio of any of that. Yeah, we decided to have a throwback game. It was 1976 CBS football. That's the way it was. We had four cameras in the game, and we didn't have any sort of mics. Nothing. We had a big crowd mic that held over the crowd, and that was it. I mean, you can believe that, and I can tell you tons of other stories. 855-212-4CBS. Let me get to Steve in Maryland. Steve, you've been more than patient. You're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. One fact I'd like to throw in there, and those two were jawing at each other while they were on the ground. The mm-hmm. other fact was that Garrett was not letting him get off the ground. This is, you see this in the NFL now, you can't cheap shot people or push them in front of the referees anymore. So what do you do if you're on defense? You hold the guy down, you try to drag your crotch across his face when you're getting up, watch the defensive back. That's the new way to, like, exude your dominance. But the bottom line is, Garrett held him down, Rudolph's trying to get up, the thing escalated. Are either one of them Saints or innocent? Of course not. I don't know that I wouldn't have suspended Rudolph for a game just for fighting and for pursuing the thing. But I think people are forgetting that Garrett was holding him down and wouldn't let him get up. And some of that could be in a play. The defender wants to hold you down in case there's a turnover or something. But, so to this, whether there was audio or not. So I think Garrett and Rudolph are both getting sucked into the big media frenzy and getting fed on by everybody that's speculating about what happened and what didn't happen. But I do agree with you that there should have been some kind of audio there. And I would argue the flip side of the coin of they would hold it back. I don't think you could hold something like that back. I think there's too many people that would leak it. Certainly, if the Browns ever got a hold of it, they'd probably try to get it to somebody. I don't think you could keep that secret if it was up. And I love your show. I listen while I'm doing chores or doing errands. Keep up the great work, and I'll listen off the air.
Steve, thank you very much for the call. You know, I brought this up yesterday here in Cleveland, and I had a bunch of people going, well, aren't there going to be people? Aren't there loose cannons? We might find out after the fact, just because there's a human entity to this, to people who are in the truck. I don't want to answer that when we come back. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I can't speculate. It's wrong if I do, but you can. If there's someone you believe, go right on ahead. And also, no, I'm not outraged. I'm really not outraged by what happened on the field last Thursday night.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS. That's the toll-free line of CBS Sports Radio. It's brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you can save money. All you got to do is switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Also, tomorrow, Sunday, the NFL on CBS is highlighted by a full afternoon of games, including an NFC South clash between Carolina and New Orleans, and the Raiders on the road against the Jets. It all starts with JB and the guys of the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on CBS. We just took a call from Stephen Merrill. I'm going to get to the other phone calls here in a moment. 855-212-4CBS. And I'm tired of people trying to use my kids to get me to be outraged. Also, AJ Hawk coming up at 11 a.m. Eastern. Steve in Maryland brought up a great point, and it was something that my co-host during the week brought up, and it was something that several callers brought up, and they're all right, because I said, if the NFL has their power, if there's audio, it will be suppressed. I do not believe the NFL for a second that billion-dollar TV rights were passed that they wouldn't give anything in terms of audio, that there was no audio. There's nothing mic'd up. And if somebody from the NFL is listening and saying, yeah, okay, fat chance, fatty, okay, that's fine. But because of what's preceded you before, and because of other videos that have come out that we heard that the NFL claimed that they had no knowledge of, I tend not to believe you. I tend to be skeptical. And so I wonder, is there audio? And if the NFL has their way, we'll never hear it. If there's audio with the video, we'll never hear it. It's easier for them to go after and prosecute what Myles Garrett did, which was wrong. And the punishment is honestly fitting. If it's six games and no playoffs, it's fitting. I think at some point you should be able to return to work. But if it's just for the rest of the year as it is, I think that's a fitting penalty, being serious. I do think Mason Rudolph should have been suspended a game, but so be it. Now that there's an allegation of a racial slur, I don't think that we're going to ever hear it. And Steve brought up a very valid point. Well, what about people in the truck? There's so many people connected to this with Fox, with NFL Films, with the league office. Somebody's there. The only thought I have, the only theory I have to this, and while it is a little bit flimsy, it's still plausible. We're in the middle of a football season. People are gainfully employed. You got the holidays coming up. If it's an extra $5,000 to TMZ, is it worth it knowing that the NFL will probably find you and fire you and then probably sue you because of non-disclosure? Is it worth it that way? Now, they're after the season, they'll lay people off. Fox will lay people off, or NFL Films will, or the NFL will, and people will be upset after the season. And then they just go, well, damn the torpedoes. We might get it after the season. But I don't know if we'll get it during the season. I'm more than likely to be wrong, like I was about Antonio Brown the first time around, and it'll probably come out at 2 o'clock Eastern today. But the way I see it is that, yeah, you got the holidays there. Even if somebody has it, maybe they don't want to rock the boat. They got a good job. At least they think they might have a good job, or they just don't want to rock the boat yet. And then all of a sudden they get laid off after football season in February, and maybe they're not too thrilled about things. And they have this audio in their files. They have this video in their files. And now, you know what? I'm pretty disgruntled. I'm upset. Maybe I will give a call to TMZ. Maybe I will collect that $3,500 or $5,000. Because there's plenty of people in mid-November who have no problem holding on to their jobs. But at the end of the season, maybe it's a little bit different. That's not the best theory in the world. There still are a lot of people who are involved, and any one of them could go blow the whistle at any time, especially if they feel that Mason Rudolph did say something and they feel that this is wrong by the NFL. That part is absolutely true. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let me get to Rich in Florida. You're first up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, bud. How are you?
Doing well.
First of all, when it comes to a suspension of Mason Rudolph, I mean, everybody gets into scrums and pushing and shoving and all that. I mean, to suspend a guy for a game is ridiculous, in my opinion. 15-yard penalty for unnecessary roughness, maybe, but suspension, come on, that's silly. That next point, as far as Myles Garrett is concerned, I watched the interview with him in the locker room after the game. He apologized to his team. He apologized to all the fans. He told everybody that he let his team down, let the league down, did all these things, did the right thing. Never once did he say anything about a racial slur in there. Then I hear Mason Rudolph apologizing for his actions, talking about how good of a player Myles is, talking about how helpful he is to the league and to his team, and lifting that guy up and talking nothing but good stuff about that guy. For Myles Garrett to come out and say something like this, after all that, I can make an educated guess that he is a liar. Okay, he is a liar. He never said anything in the interview in the locker room. He is a liar. He probably has mortgages to pay for, car payments to pay for. He is a liar, and I don't think it's right that we say, well, it will never come out. And I understand your point. It probably will never come out because the NFL does want to suppress that. But to put into people's heads that, hey, he might not be a liar because they might be suppressing it, that to me sounds kind of weak, and in my opinion, he is a liar.
All right, Rich, you're on the record, and I thank you very much for the call. What I would say to that is one of the two things. First off, when it comes to Rudolph, he doesn't get hit in the head if he doesn't go running back after Myles Garrett. So there is a personal responsibility to him as an adult. He doesn't get hit in the head if he doesn't escalate the situation further. Larry Ogunjobi doesn't get suspended. Mike Pouncey doesn't get suspended if Mason Rudolph doesn't keep going after Myles Garrett. So there is a responsibility to him as the player, especially even as a quarterback, if we want to bring positions into this, where your own teammate doesn't get suspended, you don't even really have a fine, and Myles Garrett certainly doesn't have that type of suspension. Myles Garrett would certainly be heavily fined and maybe even suspended a game for ripping a guy's helmet off, my God. But it's not anywhere near of what we're seeing here if he doesn't escalate the situation. He escalates the situation. I think that's a personal responsibility. But if you disagree with that, that's fine. The question about Garrett has been brought up many times. The question I have about Garrett was the same thing Rich just asked. Well, if I was called a word, if I was called a racial slur, I'd be screaming and yelling to everybody. Now, I don't know if Myles Garrett, one, felt that he was going to be believed right there in the heat of the moment. Two, I don't know if he really was altogether cognizant that that happened. Three, he could very well have been lying. Or the other part of it is, the fourth, is that he was at an appeals process that he felt was going to be quiet and was not going to be basically declassified a day after it happened. He did not feel that that was going to go down. So maybe he didn't want to start anything while he was there. I found it a little bit odd that he did not tell any teammates. Even though there's a couple of teammates that have tweeted out over the last couple of days that they believe that maybe, or they are implying that they might have known something. A couple of defensive players for the Cleveland Browns. But where Baker Mayfield says he doesn't know, and Jarvis Landry, to my knowledge, says that he didn't know of any sort of racial slur from Myles Garrett. Even Sheldon Richardson, who's on the defensive line with Myles Garrett, said he didn't hear of any sort of thing. That's going to be a question. But the NFL would rather you question. You can call in and say that he's a liar, or you can call in and say that Mason Rudolph's a racist. You can do it. But I can't go out and say something that's going to be libelous or something that's going to cause any sort of thing where I can't back up and say that I feel that Myles Garrett's a liar, or certainly that Mason Rudolph's a racist. I've known Myles Garrett in a professional capacity for 3 years. I've never known him to be a liar. I've never met Mason Rudolph. Doesn't mean Mason Rudolph said something racial, said a racial slur. I can't allege that. Steve in Detroit, Michigan. You're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, how's it going? I just calling in about the Myles Garrett thing. Yeah. The last guy kind of said what I was going to say about, like, he didn't bring it up right away, but, you know, it still doesn't excuse what he did. Even if he did say it, like, if I was in the street at a bar or something and someone used a racial slur, I knock him out, I go to jail, or I get arrested or whatever. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So like this, I kind of like doubled down on what that guy said. He never brought it up until it was convenient for him to bring it up.
I don't know why he didn't do it afterwards.
Pull the race card is kind of weak.
I don't know why he didn't do it afterwards. I don't know. Yeah. And that's, it's still going to bother, to be honestly, Steve, and I know I can't prove anything. It's going to bother me. If I were him, wouldn't you be outraged?
Of course.
Legitimately outraged. You go, well, I wouldn't have done what I had done had he had not said this, and we don't necessarily know the word, if he would have not said this about me. Like, you would have, I would have said it right then and there. That's still something that perplexes me. Now, I know that he's a different type of guy. I know that he doesn't wear his emotions usually like that out there, but it's been a different type of season for him. And for that guy, I would still wonder, and Steve, thank you for the call, I'd still wonder, well, why weren't you shouting it from the rooftops? Because there have been people to speculate, well, you know, the Steelers were still in the building. You don't want anything like that going on. I don't know. I have no idea about that. And that will always be a question to me. If you're called a racial slur, well, you come right out and say it, don't you? 855-212-4CBS. When the original thing happened, when the original incident happened, I'll admit to you, I wasn't outraged. I wasn't outraged when that happened, when we didn't know about any sort of alleged racial slur. I wasn't outraged. I watch football. I know that football is a violent game, and I know that sometimes guys go over the line. I saw Ndamukong Suh spike a guy. I saw Albert Haynesworth spike a guy. I saw the old footage of Lyle Alzado ripping off the helmet of Chris Ward. I remember Warren Sapp and his cheap shot at Chad Clifton, and this is a cold thing to admit, but it's the truth. It's professional sports. It's not college. It's not high school. You're paid professionals. That doesn't mean that you have every single right to harm anybody. That's not my case. But when I see pro sports, you enter the arena. There is a thought where maybe you try not to hurt each other. You try to play the game, but there will always be loose cannons. And part of what you get paid is part of that risk that you take. And that's the way I look at pro football. It's not that Mason Rudolph had it coming to him. Not that case. Can't say that. I know that Mason Rudolph went running after him, but I can't say that, well, yeah, you should have your helmet ripped off and then hit over the head with it, especially when it can be used as a blunt instrument. Can't do that. But to say you're outraged, and one of the things that people keep bringing up, well, Ken, my goodness, what do you tell your children? What do you tell your kids? And I can't help but wonder, and I've been asked a million times over all this, I can't help but wonder, well, what did you tell your kids? Can we not have frank, open, and honest conversation? First off, my oldest kid is 4, so I don't know how much he actually understands that. But if he were to ask me anything, or if I were to watch that and I was there, you would have the conversation of, first off, you don't start fights. Second of all, you don't start fights you can't finish. And overall, watching this and seeing the Sue incident before and the Albert Hainsworth incident before and with Warren Sapp before, in complete and total honesty, maybe I've become desensitized to this, and that's maybe my problem. But when I watch professional sports, it's you're a paid professional, you're there to entertain me. If I care about you, the person, that's my right to care about you, the person, but honestly, I don't have to. I can care about you, the individual. I can look into your life. You can allow me access to your life as a consumer of professional sports. This goes for every pro sport. You can allow me access, and I can look into it. I can become a fan of you. You can represent my favorite team, and I can become a fan of you because you represent my favorite team. But let's keep it on the surface of it. You're there for my entertainment. You're there for my distraction from everyday life. I put a lot of love and equity, personal equity into you because you represent what I love, either the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Cleveland Browns or the Carolina Panthers or the Baltimore Orioles or whatever. There is a thought I have where I think I love you because I love the colors and I love what the colors represent. But honestly, when it comes to outrage, I'm outraged with what goes on off the field. I'm outraged with what somebody has where they believe that they have an uplifted part in society where they believe that they can act foolish. I'm outraged with that. I'm outraged by domestic violence. I'm outraged by some of the things that happen in professional football off the field, some of the things that happen in pro sports off the field. I'm outraged about those things. There's plenty of other things to be outraged. I can find myself even outraged by the way the players' union is used. And by how they're treated. I can be outraged by the way cheerleaders are used and the way cheerleaders are treated. I can be outraged by plenty of other things. But what happens between the lines, I can't find myself to be outraged by. And I get very upset during the time where we've had national writers on all this week. I get very upset. Well, Ken, what do you tell your children? What do you tell your children? Why do you need to know what I told my children? Why do you need to know what I would tell my sons if my sons were old enough to understand it? And they were even awake to see it, which they weren't. And if they ever see it, I'll tell them. Don't start a fight in the first place. Second of all, don't start a fight you can't finish. Because it looks silly. And what the NFL did, yeah, if it's just to this, if it's just the hit over the head, and it's just what happened with Myles Garrett, I find myself pretty satisfied. Coming up next, A.J. Hawk, former NFLer, SiriusXM NFL. We'll talk to him. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.